If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 10. We're going to be reading the verses about Mary and Martha in verses 38 through 42. But before we read that, let's just consider the context before and after. That wonderful parable about the Good Samaritan comes before this. And of course, the Lord Jesus is instructing all of us who is our neighbor and how we are to treat others, how we're to serve others. And then following this vignette about Mary and Martha is teaching about prayer. And we know the book of Luke is divinely written, divinely ordered. And so it's important for us to remember that this teaching about Mary and Martha comes between those two. These wonderful deeds we're to be doing for our neighbor and prayer following this. So let's read the verses then. Let us hear God's word. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such mercy to allow us to hear such words of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you sent him, Lord, to instruct Mary and Martha and us about these things. We ask you to help us to look upon the Lord Jesus and to wonder and be amazed at his glory and praise him and bless him for all we are to learn here. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. And guide us now for your name's sake. Amen. I am not an artist. I do stick drawings poorly. But I would love to see the artist who would draw the picture of the backside of the Lord Jesus, and then there's some sister there who's looking in the face of the Lord Jesus and just listening to his word. And then there's another sister who seems worried and distracted. And it's a beautiful picture. This book of Luke is unique in that a whole section between the middle of chapter 9 and the middle of chapter 19 is just Luke. You know, you look at the four Gospels and you have Matthew, that wonderful laying out of the Lord's the Sermon on the Mount and all the way through to the crucifixion. And then you come to Mark, and 90% of Mark is found in all the other Gospels. It's like the perfect review. And they say it's the preacher's Gospel because it starts immediately with the Gospel and roars to the cross. And then you have Luke, who 50% of Luke or so is in the other Gospels. But you have this section that is only Luke. You come to John, and 90% of John is only John, and just 10% found in the other Gospels. So it's a divine ordering of these Gospels. And when we look at this passage, this is the only place we will find it. There's nothing like it in the other Gospels. So it's a wonderful story that we focus right here. We also think about Mary and Martha in that they have a brother named Lazarus. And over in John chapters 11 and 12, he is mentioned, and you know there's that great story and truth of his dying, the Lord Jesus then raising him, and Mary and Martha are very much involved in the Lord Jesus seeing him do this great and wondrous miracle. But we have here the introduction of Mary and Martha and our Lord Jesus speaking to them. So some commentators think that the disciples were also here, and the Lord Jesus, of course, was leading his disciples. So when we look at this distraction of Martha, it might be even greater than we think, that it's not just Jesus and Mary that she has to get a meal for. Maybe Lazarus is coming too, but there might be 12 other men. So we need to keep that in mind. So as we have these three, we'll sort of consider them in order. First, Martha, and we'll introduce these three, then we'll consider them more fully. Martha, the one who invites the Lord Jesus into her home. In fact, she welcomes him. That's important. She's the sister of Mary, the brother of Lazarus. She seems to own the house. We don't know. Could she have been a widow? Was the home somehow was hers? And she invites Jesus into it. She possibly was the oldest of the three. And then there's Mary, the one who is seated at the feet of Christ, hearing his word, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And then finally, the Lord Jesus, the one who's invited in by Martha. And we sing this song sometimes at Christmas time, Mary, did you know? And did you know all these things about the Lord Jesus? Well, we think, well, Mary and Martha, did you really know who is being invited and welcomed into your house? Did you know that he is the Lord of glory, the creator of the ends of the earth? We don't know. Did you know he was the Son of God? Did you know he's the Prince of Peace, the King of Righteousness, the Messiah who would someday die for your sins? We probably think that they didn't understand many of these things, but what they did know is that Jesus had been to the villages around Israel, and he'd been preaching the gospel. He'd been performing miracles. People had been raised from the dead. Now, word travels fast. They didn't have the internet, but they sure had word of mouth, and this was a small nation, and so we imagine that Martha was very glad to receive Jesus into her home. We don't know if she actually saw him out in the village and said, hey, would you come to my home? Or was it more like Zacchaeus, where Jesus approached her house and she welcomed him in? We don't know, but she did. And so we have Martha, Mary, and the Lord Jesus. Now let's consider them further in their interactions. First with Martha. Martha is very hospitable. Let's not move too quickly from that. The Bible speaks a lot about hospitality. A person cannot become an elder unless they are hospitable. But that command goes to every one of us. And Martha was that. And so we don't want to just look at the problem she had. We want to look at the blessing she was to have a woman who would invite him and possibly 12 other disciples. That's a pretty big request. We know for sure the Lord Jesus. So she was a hospitable lady. Then we have a but. In my notes I have capital B-U-T. But Martha is also distracted about much serving. Secondly, she's also judging Mary, that Mary is not helping her. And you notice the word that we read where she actually says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So she's doing, in her mind, she's doing something better. And what's the problem with Mary? She knows we've got to get all this work done. We've helped others before, and she's just sitting there. Thirdly, she's minimizing the blessing of getting to hear the word of the Lord Jesus. She's not really, do I want physical food for people, or do I want spiritual food? And so she's minimizing that. Fourthly, she accuses the Lord of not having proper concerns for the situation. This is not the first time the Lord Jesus has been accused of really not caring. Remember, the disciples are in a boat and there's a tremendous storm, and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And they wake him up and say, Lord, do you not care that we're about perishing? Of course, the Lord rebukes the storm. He rebukes their hearts for not trusting. And the Lord of all people cares. And so for him to be accused of not caring, and that the Lord is not really caring what's going on here, it's a very grave concern we have for Martha. The Lord points out, fifthly, that Martha's distraction comes from being worried and troubled. Now, the ESV says the word worried there could be translated anxious, and an NASB says the word troubled could be translated distracted. So she's worried, anxious, troubled, and distracted. She's hearing the word. I mean, she knows that Mary's listening, and those words are being said by the Lord Jesus. I'm sure you've been in a church service, and there's preaching going on, and your mind's in another place. Or your mind may be in the right place. I guess each of us here is either like a Mary or Martha. But we've had that happen before, where there's something going on, but our mind's over here, and she's thinking of all that she needs to get done, rather than the Lord of glory has something to say, and maybe he'll tell us when he wants to have dinner. but we better get his food first, the bread of life. So she's distracted. Now, you notice that it also says there, when the Lord says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled, and notice the last phrase, about many things. That makes us think that maybe this isn't the first time this has occurred in Martha's life, that this is sort of a habit that she has, that when something comes up, rather than resting in the Lord, maybe even seeking him, she's troubled and distracted and anxious about many things, not just today. You know, the Lord is, he's always good about seeing something that we don't see. Remember Nathaniel, who the Lord Jesus said, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And Nathaniel said, wait a minute, there's something more than just a regular man here who knew what I was doing under the fig tree. And the Lord Jesus, many times in the scriptures, he knows what's in their hearts. So he knows something about Martha that she needed to know, that she's troubled about many things. Well, we ask the question, what was Martha missing? Well, she was missing the word of God. And there's certain things that Mary was hearing that Martha just didn't get to hear. And I think of the times that when we are distracted, what are we missing? And we, Lord, I need to hear that again. She was missing the peace of God. She was missing the rest that God provides. She was missing maybe some commands that the Lord Jesus was giving, and she was missing the promises of God that maybe the Lord Jesus was declaring. So she wasn't missing just a little thing. Now, we know that Martha is a Christian, and she missed something there. She's not missing anything now. She's in the presence of the Lord. But there are certain people in this world that don't mind being troubled and distracted, and that is what their nature is. Martha's inner nature was really to know the Lord. She welcomed him, wanted him there. But there are individuals who are not missing the Lord Jesus at all, and I hope there's no one like that here, that you're glad when the sermon is over. You're glad when Dad finally closes the Bible and you no longer have to have devotions. That's not a good thing. How many will meet him at the judgment who could have heard the Lord but didn't mind missing it? So we've considered something of Martha, a hospitable lady who had some difficulties that the Lord Jesus addressed. Let's consider Mary. She chose to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, a place of submission. And there's that picture I had again for you. This, a beautiful picture. Don't know what she looked like, but we know her heart was beautiful because she wanted to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She was hearing his word. Now, what does the Bible tell us about that? Well, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Her faith was being built up. She was considering the words of the Lord Jesus. She was imbibing it as food. She was taking it in. This is a meal. And the Lord Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And so the one who believes in the Lord is the one coming to the Lord, and you come to the Lord and you're not going to go away empty. Now, Brother Tom talked to us today about Daniel, who was having great distress, and it seemed like for 3 weeks the Lord wasn't hearing him, but the Lord was. And Daniel heard about that later. And we go through these distresses, but we still have a Lord who cares for us. Martha said, do you not care? Well, the Lord does care. And here we have Mary. She's receiving this food. She's taking it in. She's not worried and troubled about many things. In fact, she might have been delighted. Not worried about the dinner. She was concerned about what the Lord was saying. She was trusting in the Lord. She was receiving something that could not be taken away from her. And isn't that a wonderful promise that the Lord says, that when you receive my word and you truly receive it, it cannot be taken away from you. So she was receiving the promises of God, the comfort of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, the knowledge of sins forgiven, the knowledge of righteousness imputed, the confidence of life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at his feet in heaven. We don't know how much of that she was receiving, but how valuable is one word of Christ. And she was receiving that. It could not be taken away from her. She was receiving the command she needed to follow, and she was receiving something that could never be pulled away from her. The enemy will try, The enemy will seek to take away the word from us. We know there's four soils, but Christians are that good soil that will bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100, not taken away from them. So we have this Mary, and we'll talk more about her later. Then we consider the Lord Jesus. He loved both Mary and Martha. It tells us that in John. Now, someone might say, well, doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ love everyone? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God has a love for his creation. He sent his love, he sent his beloved Son to the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. However, we must understand from the scriptures, God has a specific and personal love for individuals, his elect. And this is what he's talking about here, his love for his elect children, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so the Lord Jesus loved them. Secondly, he provided what each needed at the time. First, he provided for Mary the word, and I say the word of comfort. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. And in this passage in the book of Hebrews, it's talking about resting in the Lord Jesus. We're all to have works. We're to have good works. We're supposed to be zealous of good works, but we never trust a single one of them. We hope we have many, but our trust is in Christ alone, and that's where we can rest. Because our works are never good enough. Our works always have to be purged by the blood of Christ. And so we rest in him. And Mary was resting in him. It tells us also further in Hebrews, verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In other words, we need to be laboring to enter into the rest where Mary was, sitting at the feet of Christ, resting in his work alone. Can you imagine how much unrest you would have if you thought his work wasn't enough? That if you had to add to it, that you could lose your salvation? I would say if you think you can lose your salvation, you've got a lot of work to do, and you'll never get it done. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that Christ has completed it. When he said at the cross, it is finished, completely paid for. There's nothing else to be added to my work to bring someone to heaven. Now, we want to follow him. We want to walk in holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But that's not a holiness that we've earned. That's a holiness that we have provided in Christ and that we grow in. And so he provided for Mary his word that she could rest in. He goes on to say in Hebrews, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is his word, sharper than a two-edged sword. The Lord Jesus Christ giving this word to Mary is, in a sense, doing surgery on her heart, a sinner who needed grace being given to her. So the Lord Jesus provided for Mary a word of comfort. He also provided for Martha what she needed. She needed a word of correction. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And then he pointed to the example she needed to follow, that Mary is receiving that good part which should not be taken away from her. You wonder what happened in the next moment. Did Martha sit down and say, thank you, Lord, I needed that correction, and then maybe she became just like Mary. We don't know the end of the story, but she did receive that word of correction that she needed. And then as we consider further the Lord Jesus, he's the one who would go to the cross for both of them. Here speaking to individuals, but later to bear their sins, Mary's and Martha's and all of his people's, all of his people. And also the Lord Jesus Christ sees them both now in heaven with him. So it's a wonderful thing to know that all these saints we read about are now with the Lord. The rest is won. And we get to see them in the scriptures, but we'll see them there. And we'll see Mary, and we'll see Martha, and we'll see Lazarus. This is not an uncertain hope. I hoped I would get here safely tonight. We prayed about that. Thank the Lord he answered that prayer. But someday, we will certainly be with the Lord Jesus. We might not have made it here tonight, but we made it there. We will make it there in his grace. So the Lord Jesus sees them both now in heaven. The Lord will transform both of them, and give them a body like unto his glorious body at his second coming. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord is going to come, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that are alive will rise to be with the Lord secondly. And so we'll all be with the Lord. We're going to be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And Mary and Martha and all of us will be there when the Lord gives us a glorious body like his body. Let's consider some lessons from this passage. You notice that the Lord Jesus Christ said this, verse 42, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. She had a choice to sit at my feet or to not sit at my feet. And what choice are we taking? When we get up in the morning, what is that like? When we have a break at noonday, what is that like? When we go to bed at night, are we choosing to sit at the feet of Christ? It's an important choice, and one that we must make on a daily basis. We have an example of one who had not chosen that first. We hope she did second. Expect she did second. But what are some things that might hinder us from making that choice? First of all, enumerating all that needs to be done before going to the Lord's Word. You wake up in the morning, I got this, your to-do. I got 27 things on my to-do list for BTM, and the 28th will be there soon, I'm sure. But those can't come first. What must come first is, Lord, I need you. Now, you have to schedule time for that. If you need to be driving out the driveway at 7 o'clock, but you don't want to set the alarm at 6:30 because that's just time for breakfast to get dressed and go, you've got to move it up further. You've got to say, Lord, I got to find some time for you. And you might need to go to bed early. One of the brothers that I knew in Oklahoma, heard of in Oklahoma, said, if you hoot with the owls at night, you can't soar with the eagles in the morning. Okay, I don't make a law there. Some people are night owls and they get their time at Jesus' feet. They do better at night. So please understand. But you need to make that time. And if you're a morning person and you're dead as a doornail at night, you can't read the Bible at night, you better be reading it in the morning. And if you can't wake up in the morning and read the Bible well, then you better be reading it sometime during that day. And realizing if for some reason you don't get there, there is grace. God is not going to judge you. You have a car wreck, think it must have been, I didn't get enough time in the Bible. That's not what God's teaching you. He's teaching you to trust him in a car wreck. And the devil is always trying to always make us wonder, well, when's the next foot going to come down because I didn't read my Bible today? Well, I hope you have, but if you haven't, trust in the Lord. You can, whatever we're doing, we need to be thinking about the Lord, trusting him as we're doing it. I know that you're flying an airplane. You know, you need to be trusting the Lord. You're doing it right, but you can have your eyes on the Lord as you do it. Whatever you might be doing, changing a diaper, doing it unto the Lord, praying that you're honoring Christ in it. We all have things to do. And remember the context of this passage. Here is the Good Samaritan. We must be about doing that which is honoring to the Lord and treating our neighbors as we should. But then he takes this teaching about Mary and Martha next. And so what should come first? Mary's sitting at the feet. And this Good Samaritan, somehow God had put some grace in his heart somehow. And the Lord had worked in him. But we need to have that first. The one thing needful. Yes, the dinner needed to be served, but this is the one thing needful that Mary had done sitting at the feet of Christ. So somehow in your day. And then the Lord's day. I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you all are here. But I hope there was no one who could be here who is not here, who is doing something else that is not sitting at Jesus' feet. This is not our righteousness. We're not going to heaven because we're here tonight. But I hope you receive something tonight in his word that will never be taken away from you. Can you picture certain times in your Christian life where you read a passage of scripture and it's like, it's fastened. It's not going to be taken away from you. You go back and you draw from that and you read over that passage and it still blesses you and you get something else out of it. This is what God does. It tells us over in Titus, he manifests his word through preaching. Well, Lord, can't I get this same thing as I read the Bible? Well, you're going to get a lot when you read the scriptures. And you're going to get a lot when you talk about it with your wife or your children. You're going to get a lot about it when you walk in the way and the Lord's instructing you. But there's something that happens in the meeting of the children of God when the Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst and I manifest my word through preaching. And he gives some clarity and some teaching in the preaching of the word that he's not going to give anywhere else. It is there. That's his statement, not ours. He manifests his word through preaching. So you choose to sit at the feet of Christ. The men who stand at this pulpit are great sinners. We need the grace of God every day. We need the Lord to wash our sermons with his blood. But the word that we preach is his word. And as he said, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, you receive the word not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And of course, Paul was talking to them about the word. The Bereans went back and checked out the word to see if what Paul was saying was so, and they did believe, but they were checking out the word. And so, what a privilege we have. As I prepared this message, I thought, Lord, how many Christians didn't have a whole Bible? How many Christians right now do not have a whole Bible on this earth? There are many. And yet we have a whole Bible in how many translations that are really good in English? And so we are very responsible to choose this and choose it by grace. But what else can we glean from this? We must glean that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all my failings in coming to the Word of God. All the days that I should have spent more time and did not. All the times I looked into his word and had my mind distracted and it was someplace else. All the times I was sleepy and I didn't wake myself up to read the word. All the times I read it and didn't apply it or forgot it, as it says in James. The Lord Jesus Christ died for every one of our sins. And what a blessing that we can say, Lord, I haven't given myself to the word as I should. Thank you for dying for my sins. Lord, help me to choose what Mary did more this day and in the future than I have. And pray for me that I would do the same. We're very much tested by what we preach. I want to be growing in knowing the Word of God and studying it. Let's turn to Colossians to close. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is a verse we've looked at in the book of Colossians. And as we sing, and we sang that hymn 403, that as we were singing through it, I was thinking, how many of these phrases are in the word of God? This pardon that we're singing about. It's talking about what Jesus accomplished at the cross. We sang the gospel to each other. We are to let that word dwell in us richly. And so, you know, we come to hear the word of God, but we also come to sing the word of God. We come to teach one another the word of God in song, and we're to let it dwell in us richly, to abide in it. I saw some of the individuals singing hymns tonight at Calvary. They didn't have to look at the music. They knew these words. And amazing grace, line after line after line, not looking at the words. This is something that these thoughts came from the Word of God. You could annotate them with all the scriptures. And we are to have these truths of Christ dwelling in us richly, taking them with us and walking in them. If there's anyone here tonight who hasn't come to the Lord Jesus yet, come now. He receives you. We have that great promise in Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's not my promise. This is a promise of a Savior who knows your heart. He knows if your heart is dull. You say, well, Lord, I don't have a glowing heart. How would you save me? He doesn't save us because we have a glowing heart. He saves us because we need a Savior. We're desperate sinners. Well, Lord, I don't have as much conviction as I think I should have. Do you have any conviction? Have you ever sinned? How are you going to erase those sins? You cannot. You cannot have a perfect repentance. You come as you are and just trust in the Lord. You cast yourself upon him, and he promises to save all that come unto God by him. There's no other way to come. This is a Savior with his arms open. Even the last book of the Bible talks about coming to him. And so I do pray that you will come. Let us go to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for such salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you know our hearts. You know our frame. You know our sins. And Lord, I thank you that your salvation is perfect. That as we trust you, Lord, we have everlasting life in you. Every sin completely blotted out, washed away. Lord, we thank you that you are able to help us to put on the whole armor of God. And Lord, to resist those fiery darts that the enemy sends. And he sends them daily. Lord, we thank you that you love us and gave yourself for us. And Lord, that you will certainly receive us to yourself. Do pray for our dear brother Fred, that you would give him strength and grace and full healing. We pray, Father, again for Haddon James, that you would protect him and bless him and bless Hannah. Give doctors and nurses great wisdom. We pray, Father, you bring that child forth fully healthy at a full age. Now, Father, we are thankful to commit our church to you. We pray you'd help us each grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus this week, if you give us this, Lord. And Father, we commit this youth camp to you. Lord, you know there'll be campers there from other churches. We pray you'd bless them and encourage them, help them. Lord, if there's any campers there that have not yet come to Christ, we pray that you would draw them by your grace. Pray that you would bless every aspect of that time together. Pray you'd protect us from the enemy. Lord, you'd preserve us and watch over us. And Father, we are thankful to be able to commit all these things to you for Jesus' sake. Amen.